The following program is brought to you in living color.
Evening, ma'am. And buy you a drink?
I don't think so.
You don't know what you're missing.
You sure you want to go without me? That's like your top of the line A-game material.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow.
Whatever this is not going to work.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, the story of vine to glass and everything in between. We're off and running to a great show today. We have an interesting topic for a change. I figure I have rambled on long enough and we have to come back to point. So today we're going to talk about taste. Just taste in general. Of course, being from the South, there's a couple interesting quotes that come to mind, but we'll get onto those later in the show. But honestly, let's talk about taste as it involves wine, as it involves tasting beverages, as it involves enjoying a nice glass of Chardonnay or Pinot Noir. We're going to kind of run the gamut on every aspect of taste and see what we can come up with. Well, whenever you're talking about taste, you have to actually have some expert influence, and certainly we do today. We are going to have Mr. David Vogels. He is the editor of the Sommelier Journal, and he's going to join us and tell us about tasting and how we should approach it mentally. We also are very fortunate today. We have Mr. Anthony Terlato. He has just published his memoirs, and the name of the book, appropriately, is Taste. He's going to tell us all about being an importer, being a distributor, and what it's like to be heart and soul in the wine business from top to bottom, from all aspects. So definitely a great lineup, and for a change, you're going to have some expert advice. But when we're looking for expert advice, we can't get away from doing some wine recommendations. And for those of you who are up to tasting out there, these are definitely some wines that you need to look up. The first one is Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio. This is an Italian Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris for some of those out there that want to be more specific. It is from Alto Adige, a region in Italy. And a lot of people give Santa Margherita a hard time. They say it's expensive for what it is. But ultimately, Santa Margherita is the king of Pinot Grigio. It's the reason we drink the style and drink the wine that we do today. And for those of you looking for a refreshing treat this summer, go ahead and treat yourself to this. Santa Margherita, it's a lot of tree fruit, has a lot of apple, has a lot of peaches to it, and it has a nice dry finish. So when you're doing your seafood salads, when you're doing just regular grilled chicken salads, soufflés, hams, melons, this is a great balance for all those light summer lunches that we tend to lean towards when we don't want to have heavy meals. So Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio, probably one of the best pairings for all this out there. And one thing I love about this wine is it comes in a 750 and it comes in a 375. So it comes in a full bottle and it comes in a half bottle. So for those of you
who... meant gallons.
A 375 gallon?
Yeah.
Well, I am the Chardonnay guzzling diva. I guess I could switch to Pinot Grigio, but Ken, it's going to have to be an awful big straw.
I guess so.
Okay. Coming in half bottles, this is great if you just want to enjoy a couple glasses by yourself, say outside if you're dining al fresco. It's a good excuse to beat the heat. Plus, if you're sitting outside, half bottles don't get as warm as quickly, so keep that in mind. So there's our white recommendation for those of you thirsty sippers out there. And for the rest of you thirsty shoppers who tend to lean towards red, we've talked about Zinfandel a lot this summer. We've talked about Merlot. The one thing I haven't really gotten on is Meritage and blends. Something I would like to propose is the Coppola Claret. And for those of you who are out there, yes, Claret is the English term for Bordeaux, and we will look past that, but it is a great mix of grapes. It's mostly Cabernet. I believe it's about 80% Cabernet. But it's got Petit Verdot, Malbec, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, generally the five grapes you do find in Bordeaux, but it's got that California twist to it. So what you have is you have a lot of blackberry, you have a lot of plum, dark chocolate, and black cherry. I mean, how can you say no to that wine? You put those four things together, and pretty much whether or not it's appetizer all the way through dessert, it's going to pair well for you. But the great thing when you start looking at these blended wines is whether the food is coming off the grill, out of the oven, or out of the refrigerator, it definitely can stand up to just about anything you're doing. So Coppola Claret, yes, that would be our Francis Ford buddy of movie history. Kent, I know that you're a big movie and TV buff. So
I had no
idea
he was in wine.
Oh, yes, he's a very big proponent of wine. He actually bought the old Inglenook property and has turned it into, even though it's still a winery, you can go out there, and the very first thing you see when you walk in the winery is the desk from The Godfather.
Hmm. Has he been doing this for long?
Probably for about 15 years.
Wow.
I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners out there that will correct me on that time span. Keep in mind, I've been in the wine business too long. Someone will call me and say it's going to be 25 years, and I'll just say, yeah, fine, yesterday was also, I don't know, January. But no, for those of you who are movie buffs, it is definitely the wine to line up with. The winery, if you get a chance to go out there, you can see everything. Let's see, from Godfather, all the different sequences on that. I'm sure you're better off at the Coppola movies than I am. So any of the paraffin.
Yeah, I just blanked on every one.
As did
I'm
I.
I'm thinking of one that was made about 30 years ago, and it was a war picture.
Yeah, I was going to screw up and actually say Star Wars, but I know better than that.
No.
So past that. Now that we're off our wine recommendations, obviously you can see we spend much more time in the glass than in the theater around here. But those two are definitely worth shopping for. And especially since we're talking about taste today, if you manage to go and pick up a bottle of that Coppola Claret, because it has all those different grapes in there, it's going to be fun to see what kind of different taste that you can get out of it. A lot of you will get the blackberry and all the round berry fruits out of that, where more of you might go toward the tree fruits, like the plum and the cherries and such. I, of course, go straight for the chocolate. So call us up and let us know what you managed to taste out of that. 877-4CRUSH-1 or email us info@winecrush.com. And for those of you who want to take a more personal tilt, you can email me personally at Laura Lawson. That's LauraLawson at winecrush.com. Well, when we talk about taste, a lot of things come to mind. Like I was giggling about, there were a lot of quotes from my childhood that come to the forefront. Something along the lines of the only taste she has in her body, she has in her mouth. Some people, definitely money can't buy taste. There's just no accounting for taste. But ultimately, when you take all those and put it together, there really is some truth in that, the whole matter of how you look at things. My first one is kind of fun. The only taste she has is in her mouth. It's true. When you start looking at taste as a whole, it's not really what you have in your mouth or anything like that. Your whole tasting pattern comes from your nose. Shockingly, for those of you, if you really want to sit and think about this, the last time you had a cold and tried to take a sip of a beverage or tried to take a bite of something or even tried to eat your favorite chocolate chip cookie, all of a sudden the food tasted a lot different. Well, even though we have 10,000 taste buds on our tongue, 85% of what we perceive as taste comes from our nose. So for those of you who are trying to discern wine with a summer cold, give it up and just switch to vodka because there's absolutely nothing you're going to get out of it. But when you look at the fact that since taste is really not about the tongue but about the nose, that's why when you read a lot of these tasting notes and get into all these descriptions, you hear words like aroma and bouquet, and those tend to be forced on you more so than the actual tasting notes. They talk about, oh, up front it smells like apples. Oh, it has a nice bouquet of golden honey. And that's why every time you read a tasting note and it says smells of, reminds me of, has aromas of, it really is the overall tasting pattern that you're getting to. So keep that in mind when you're tasting. It's all coming from the nose. The nose knows. When you move on to taste, too, like I was joking around about money can't buy taste, this is something that we'll have to ask one of our guests about today. There was an interesting study done about 8 months ago, and it went through and it sat a group of 50 people in a room. And what it did is they poured three different Chardonnays in front of them. And as they went through the Chardonnays, they were all asked to taste and they were all asked to rank what they thought of the Chardonnays. Well, then they were asked to clear the room. Then they were asked to be escorted back in. The only difference was when they were escorted back in, the whole guide of the tasting had put the wines back in the same exact spot where they were before. Well, now when the people came back and sat down in the room to taste these wines, they were given the price point of the wines. The first wine was, say, $20, the second wine was $10, and the third wine was $50. It was interesting that even though the wine was exactly the same as it had been before they left the room in the exact same order, everybody all of a sudden liked the $50 wine much better. There was no discriminating. There was no arguing. It's the $50. That's what I like. So whereas they do say that money can't buy taste, apparently it can influence it. So give that a thought next time you're out and about next to that hoity snob talking about his $100 Chardonnay. It'd be fun to put a $3 bottle and see what he had to say. Well, we've got to take a small break right here, but when we come back, we have David Vogels from the Sommelier Journal, giving us a little better instruction on how to go through our wines.
If they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any Merlot!
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote.
800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. Northwestern Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's trying to actually account for taste. As we noticed on the break, all of us have our own stories about taste one way or the other. I was thinking about me and all my girlfriends when we get together. We're all in the wine business. We'll take one particularly wretched Chardonnay, take a sip, and say, "Oh my God, this is awful. Here, taste this." And then as we listen to our booth, Kent saying, yes, he just dates women with no taste. So we get kind of
that's
all those sides together.
Totally taken that out of context, but okay, that's fine.
I'm on radio. I'm allowed to take things out of context. That's what the media does, Kent. Anyway, right now, as we digress, we are very fortunate. We are joined by David Vogels. He is the editor of the Sommelier Journal. The Sommelier Journal is a magazine for professional wine people. It was first published in April 2008, but honestly, I think it's one of the best magazines out there for people who want to learn about the serious side of wine. So on that note, David, welcome to The Crush.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's fun. I always like to have a fellow media person on air. It's always interesting.
Sure.
We are talking today a little bit about taste. And when people go to restaurants and when people bring themselves bottles of wine home and when they sit down and try and garner everything that that bottle and that glass has to offer. And obviously part of what a sommelier does is to help people transcribe their flavor impressions into words. How can our listeners work on talking about the taste they are tasting in their wines better?
Well, that's a good question. You can compare it to things. That's what most people do when they're learning how to taste. You can compare the aromas to different fruits, flowers, nuts, berries, you know, all kinds of things. And most tasting notes are just comparisons. So that's certainly one way.
I think that works. David, give our listeners a little bit of your background so they can know where the expertise on taste comes from.
Well, I'm a professional journalist myself. I have a journalism background. I got into wine as a consumer and a collector and just got very interested in it, started taking classes. I'm sure some of your listeners have gone down the same road. But I'm also a publisher, so I just saw a need for a magazine for wine professionals. So we started it about a year or so ago, as you said.
There definitely is a need for a magazine for wine professionals. They also need an institution for all of us, but the locks need to be on the outside.
So
we're still working on that. All of us tend to be a little bit, extreme and a little bit insane.
Well, we're known as the magazine for wine geeks, so I take that as a compliment.
Absolutely. And there is something that the Sommelier Journal does that I particularly like. And it brings an interesting facet for our listeners. They've heard me discourse on Robert Parker. They've heard me just go off the deep end about the Wine Spectator. But what the Sommelier Journal does is they get together, they taste wines, they give the description of them, but they don't tell you, oh, this is a 94 point or this is an 89 point. You leave it up to the reader to go ahead and garner. Explain to us that mentality and how well it works for you.
Well, that's obviously a conscious decision on our part because our readers are professionals, and they trust their own palates, and I think a lot of your listeners probably do also, but they just want to have recommendations, and that's what we do. We give them hints about what they should try, and then we expect them to go out and try it and see if it will work in their restaurant. So, and we don't want to be in the position of someone saying, Sommelier Journal gave this wine a 95 or something like that. Because that's not what we're about.
It seems like that would also start biasing people all the way around when all of a sudden, whether you're in Vegas, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Washington, and all of a sudden all the sommeliers had the same wine list, it would get a little creepy.
Yeah, people want variety, I think, and there's a lot of variety in restaurants, so the wine list should reflect that.
I think one thing we've noticed in the last few years is that when we talk about the concept of wine professionals, I know for a fact there really weren't that many around 25 years ago. If you had to attest to me and my group, there's not many around now. But wine professionals, just like you, are people who got into wine, almost they fell into it or as a hobby. Everyone started off as a novice at some point. What would your advice be to our listeners who are just starting out in wine and are learning to appreciate their own palates? How can they develop that on their own?
Well, you can certainly do a lot of tasting. I mean, that's what everybody does to get better. Do as much tasting as you can on whatever economic level you want to. But also, I would recommend going to winemaker dinners, that kind of thing. They have them in all major cities. And try taking a class or two, because that's what got me into it. There are introductory level classes at various universities and institutions. I got my training through the Culinary Institute of America in California, and anybody can fly out there and t- take classes, and that's true of a number of institutions around the country.
Now, being called the Sommelier Journal, do you ever feel the need to say take classes from the Certified Sommelier Guild?
Well, there are various organizations that certify sommeliers, and we try to stay neutral. I mean, we support all of them, and we support their efforts. But I think people who want to work their way up through the system, there are various ways to do it, and we write about that. We have authors from various of those organizations.
Actually, I see on your list Tim Geiser, Laura De Pasquale. They are guests that have been on our show in the past, speaking from a sommelier's point of view. But when you look at it from a media point of view, like you were talking about finding a magazine for wine professionals, what made you think there was something missing? Was it just cohesive unit, or are you seeking to spread information?
Oh, I think both. We're trying not to be an organizational kind of magazine because we want to, as I say, to kind of cross boundaries. But yes, people do need information, but I think there was a need for the profession to have a written journal, and that's what I saw was lacking.
Was it hard to start a new wine magazine when you look around and you've got something like the Wine Spectator, you have the Wine Advocate, you have the Connoisseur's Guide, you have Food and Wine, you have all the different ones out there? Were you nerve-wracked trying to start a whole new publication?
Well, it is a bit nerve-wracking in this economy to start any kind of publication, but we're not trying to compete with the consumer wine magazines. One thing that pleasantly surprised me was that it wasn't that hard to get material for the magazine because there are a lot of good freelance writers out there, and that's primarily what we use. So from that standpoint, it wasn't hard, but it's difficult for any magazine to start out and get subscribers right off the bat.
I think that's kind of the fun thing about wine professionals, and by now you've learned it. If we're passionate enough to make wine our lifestyle, we'll talk to and write anything about it when we can. Obviously, I can stand on my soapbox about that. But David, we appreciate you being part of the Crush today. It's always nice to hear an outsider's point of view and let our listeners know how they have come to be in the world of wine. And we encourage our listeners to check it out at sommelierjournal.com. and to subscribe to one of the best magazines in the business.
Well, thank you for your compliment and for having me on.
Always welcome, David. All right, we have to take a small break here on The Crush, but when we return, the show is all about you, and we'll answer some emails and some phone calls. So hang around for a bit.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you're listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Today, we are talking about taste. And actually, Kent, it's very appropriate that you were just up playing a little R.E.M. It's a shame it wasn't Superman, because there are actually some accounting of taste, believe it or not. I grew up hearing there's absolutely no accounting for taste, as a lot of people were walking down the street. But truthfully, there is, and you can blame your DNA for it. Scientific studies have been actually abounding lately, and what they have determined is that 25% of the population are non-tasters, 50% of the population are medium tasters, and 25% of the population are super tasters.
Now, what do they mean by that?
Well, a non-taster can only pick up maybe, say, 60% of the taste that actually exists, the taste and the smells that are in the world. When you look at medium tasters, they can pick up about 75% of the taste that surround them and are the smells that are around them. Super tasters, however, can pick up 95% of all the tastes that are present in different things. And that leads to interesting discussions all the way around, and we'll probably have to do a separate show on that one. But ultimately, when you start talking about the wine business and you read people like Michael Broadbent, who insured his palate for $1 million, or Robert Parker, who insured his nose and his palate for $10 million, these guys are definitely super tasters. There are some wineries out in California that I think the people who are making the wine are non-tasters. So somewhere there has to be a mid-ground here. So for those of you out there who are always the one in the group that goes out and says, oh, this wine is corked, or this wine tastes like oranges, or this wine tastes like burnt caramel, saddle pony, or lathered sheep, you may be a super taster. So ultimately, for those of you who think you may be super tasters, here are the reasons and the warehouse to actually be able to tell if you are a super taster. There are certain problem foods with super taster, and if you dislike this group of food, chances are you are moving towards the end of being a super taster. Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, grapefruit juice, green tea, spinach, soy products, carbonation in drinks such as soda and beer, chili peppers, and tonic water. If those fall into the category of things you will not absolutely eat, touch, or tolerate, then chances are you're a super taster. I was pretty much online all the way through there, except for there is one last little addendum to that. Coffee is also on that list. So once they put coffee on the list, I figured I was out. I just have to have that mainlined into me to even get through half the day.
Now, what if you just like some of those?
Then probably you're a medium taster. Medium taster. But no, if you if these are things that give you problem across the board, you probably fall in the super taster category. So we're interested to hear how you taste and what you think of what we're doing on the show today. Give us a call, 877-4CRUSH-1. Give us an email, lauralawson@winecrush.com, or you can also reach us at info@winecrush.com. Everyone out there has some kind of tasting story. Well, I tasted this, and he tasted that, and we didn't agree on it. So we'd love to hear how things are working for you. Right now, we actually have a couple emails along those lines that we've been saving up. This is from Evan in Iowa. Evan writes, I went to a wine tasting in a wine shop yesterday, and as I went through the tasting, the teacher would describe the aroma and the taste of the wine. The more she described things, the less I could taste what she said the wine tasted like. Okay, I'm following that. I asked her about it, and she said, perhaps I have a dumb tongue. Please explain that statement. Well, Evan, the first thing I'm going to do is whoever was stupid enough to actually tell you that you may have a dumb tongue, I think they fall in the dumb category. I hope she was trying to convince you that somehow you had shot your palate or shot your smelling abilities for that day. But generally, when you talk about a dumb tongue, you are talking, I guess, about a non-taster who really can't pick up anything. So that was very, very poor form for her to do that, and I would recommend never going back to that shop or one of her tastings. But it can happen when you talk about having a dumb tongue. Think about the feeling you get after you gargle with mouthwash, how your tongue kind of burns, or after you have some vodka, or after you take some cold medicine, or something along the lines that can just be very, very stringent on your tongue. Obviously, the aromas are going to get through to your sinuses, and it's going to affect the way you taste. So give it a break. Go back 6 months later. Taste the same wines again and see if you can't get through what she was saying. And if you can't, just relax, enjoy, and it doesn't matter. Just keep that in mind. All of our listeners need to realize this. Whether you're a super taster, whether you're a medium taster, whether you're a poor taster, if you like it, drink it. The rest of the world simply doesn't matter. So, Evan, good luck with that, and please call us back and let us know if she continues to call you stupid. 877-4-CRUSH-1. All right, right now we have an email from Tiffany in Sarasota. And Tiffany writes, what factors can influence taste? I was told not to wear perfume or hairspray to an event, and I really don't understand why. Well, Tiffany, this also goes back to the idea that 85% of what we taste is influenced by what we smell. And even though most of us have a signature scent, all of us have some kind of body soaps or something that we like to use to smell good in the morning, it can influence the way other people taste wine. So this goes with the whole reasoning on anytime you're going to a wine tasting or a wine event, please don't wear perfume, please don't wear hairspray, because it can affect those around you. But what else can truly affect the way you're tasting? Definitely smokers out there will know that cigarettes affect it. Coffee can affect the way you taste things. Anything wintergreen, all those lovely little Altoids and the cute little metal boxes that most of us have in our purse, yes, those definitely affect the way you taste for up to 3 hours. Medications, antibiotics, Sudafeds, things like that, they actually can inhibit the way you smell and the way you taste things as well. When you look at antibiotics or certain types of medication, they can actually alter the way the wine tastes. I went through a bout where I had to be on antibiotics for about 3 weeks, and everything I tasted like I was sucking on nickels. So keep that in mind. Any new medications you're adding are going to change the way things flavor. Your diet can also affect the way you taste things. If you have a diet that's loaded with a whole bunch of sweets, a whole lot of salt, a whole lot of things that tend to be overpowering, eventually it's going to get to a situation where you can't smell the little finesses, whether it's dried cherry versus black cherry, whether it's green fruit versus red fruit. It will actually affect the way in the long run you can perceive these things. And of course, as we talked about, perfumes and soaps can definitely wreck the way a wine tastes. So please be conscientious of these factors when you're going to wine tastings, both on yourself and for others. Doesn't matter if you think you smell good, you might be really annoying the guy next to you, which is never a good thing when you're tasting reds. Tiffany, I hope that helped. If not, feel free to send us an email back. Once again, lauralawson@winecrush.com or info@winecrush.com. Coming up next, we are very fortunate. We have Anthony Terlato, but before we get to the man that knows all about taste, we're going to have to take a small break.
Now that we sat nice, broke bread together, shared a glass of wine,
I feel I know you a little.
It's dance time in Texas, and we're striking up the band.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX, performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you're listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Today we are talking about taste, whether you have it, how you can find it, and where you can slowly learn to identify yours. Right now we are very fortunate, though. We are joined by a true taste setter. We are joined by Mr. Anthony Terlato. He is the chairman of the Terlato Wine Group, and in the past 50 years he has done everything from retail to distribute it to import. The man has seen and done it all. So on that note, Anthony, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a delight to have you on the show. It is so much fun. We had certainly hoped to get someone on the show to talk about your book, but we didn't think we'd be fortunate enough to get you.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Well, today we are talking about taste on the crush, so you just kind of fit in so perfectly, and there's a lot of avenues we want to go down. But I want to ask you real quick, why did you name your memoir Taste?
I think because all through my life, one of the things that I learned was tasting blind. Not knowing what I was drinking and try to identify the quality of the wine. And we still do that today. Whenever we taste wines, we never know what we're tasting. And my father told me a long time ago in the retail store, don't ever try to pick what the wine is, just try to evaluate it.
I think that's great advice for anyone trying to get into wine and trying to learn wine. And I also like your rationale when you look about wine versus life. I guess in day-to-day, we're all tasting blind trying to get
exactly.
through the day.
That's really true.
Well, I have a question. As we look through and we talk about consumers and we're hoping that everyone out there is going to go out and taste something different, with so many of choices of wine in the market, how does a consumer make a choice? If they can't taste the wine, how do they go ahead and decide which wine?
Well, over these years, I've had that question asked numerous times. And when we became a wine producer in 1996, I realized that I needed to be able to articulate that. And the determination I made was there are two type of drinkers in the world. one of them is a commodity. Wine is a commodity. Grapes are grown, crushed, wine is made, and then it's sold cheaply and consumed uncritically. In this instance, the consumer views wine very much the same way that they view milk or fruit juice or instant coffee. As long as the quality is adequate and the price is right, they aren't worried about the source.
Okay.
This attitude accounts for a majority of people. Secondly, the other drinker is there's wine that's purchased and consumed not because of the price, but because of interest.
Okay.
This interest stems from the fact that there's such a diversity in wine types that there are wines that are able to express their geographical origins in a finished product. Now, let me explain that. What's crucial here is that it begins with the grapes. Unlike beer or whiskey, where agriculture, wheat, and barley is minimal, in wine, it's best viewed as a process of craftsmanship rather than of manufacturing. So the diversity is what makes wine very interesting. If you divorce wine from its geographical origins, wine is only marginally more interesting than milk, fruit juice, or instant coffee. What makes wine so interesting is how diverse it is. So you want to know, where does it come from? Where is it grown? Who's the winemaker? That's what makes it interesting. Whereas when you're drinking instant coffee, those things don't come to your mind so quickly.
So when you talk about
two types of wine drinkers,
when you talk about diversity, you're not just talking about grape varietal. You're talking about regions as well. Then
exactly.
Okay.
A Cabernet from Australia, for example, a Cabernet from Napa Valley, and a Cabernet from Alexander Valley are different. The soil is different. The vine is a pump, and it gets its nutrients from the soil. So whatever is in the soil is going to appear in the fruit.
Well, how can someone know, with all the great, and we are very fortunate to be living in the times we are, there is amazing diversity in all the products that are out there. How does someone who is looking to find that neat niche where they know that they're going to love and their particular type of diversity, how do they learn that? How do they find that?
Well, what I suggest to people is start if you want to learn about wine, start drinking the wines that are authentic and honest.
I like that.
Learn what the real thing is, what genuine wine. So place and varietal. So in other words, I would suggest to somebody, get a Cabernet Sauvignon from Stag's Leap District. Okay, it's a great district for Cabernet Sauvignon. Drink a Pinot Noir from Russian River, because Pinot Noir thrives in Russian River. Drink a Merlot from Rutherford, because Merlot thrives in the Rutherford area. So learn what the real thing is. Now you've set the bar. You know what is authentic and real. From there on, you can drink anything you want. Make first the idea, what do you like, Pinot Noir, Merlot, or Cabernet? Of course, there's Shiraz and a number of others, but try to pick the varietal that you like the best. That, for me, is the beginning. But make sure that when you're tasting that varietal, it comes from the best place possible. If you're going to do this country, I would do Stag's Leap, Russian River. If you're going to do Bordeaux, I would do Pauillac and Saint-Estèphe and Saint-Emilion. If you really, that's the beginning with what's authentic and true, and that's where you should start. So now at least you know what that is.
Exactly.
You don't have to like it, but you have to know that this is what the real thing is.
So once I actually know what's authentic, I know what's true, and what it exactly is supposed to be in the bottle in the ground, if I want to go and be a commodity drinker after that, I'm fine, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have the bar. The bar is set. If you're going to drink Cabernet Sauvignon, you know what the best ones taste like. Whether you like them or not, it's like, for example, Chateau Yquem. It's the greatest Sauternes in the world, without any question, maybe the greatest Bordeaux. And somebody could say, well, I don't like it, but that's okay. But you know what the best tastes like, so you go from there.
Exactly. You cannot say that you don't like it until you've tried it. Like your mom told you all, just try it. If you don't like it, you'll never have to do it again.
My mom told me the same thing. You got to taste it.
Fair enough. Well, something we've been talking about, of course, when you look at taste, tell our listeners briefly where they can go and find the extent of your portfolio, what your website is, so they can realize how encompassing your company is.
Well, Terlato Wines International is the website. So they could see the products, the wines that we make, the wines that we import, with the importers of Angelo Gaia, Santa Margherita, Pinot Grigio. I mean, there's a number of, and French wines, Chanson, Bollinger Champagne from Australia, Two Hands. So we have our portfolio is very rich in the wines that are over $14 a bottle. One out of every 8 bottles sold in the United States comes from us.
Well, see, hopefully so after you get done being the crush, we can have it be one every 9. Well,
pardon?
Listen, hopefully after you get done being on the crush, we'll have one out of every 9 bottles that sold.
One out of every 6.
Yeah, there we go. Well, Anthony, thank you very much for being part of the crush today. It's always great to have such a legend on the show and to give our listeners insights on how to taste. I encourage our listeners, please go to their website and check out their wines. They are exceptional. And the one thing I will say about Terlato, their book is truly honest and true to the wines.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. That's very nice of you.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the crush.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we have to take a small break right now, but when we come back, we're going to wrap up the whole attitude on taste and where we can all go to find some.
Drink. The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-ya!
Brick walls.
Hi-ya!
Trees.
Hi-ya!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have been discussing taste in all its different aspects, how you get it, where you find it, and what it means to you. We're very fortunate in the sense that we have a lot of scientific studies to back us up to tell us whether we are able to be a great taster or whether it's something we're just never going to be able to do. We also have a lot of people who write a whole bunch of tasting notes and tell us what'll work and what won't and what you're supposed to be tasting. But ultimately, I'm going to wrap this up with one of my favorite rants today. I'm referring to an article Matt Kramer wrote in the June 30th edition of the Wine Spectator. Matt Kramer, the title of this is called Just Drink It. And what Matt Kramer is doing is he's going back over his great history as a wine professional, as one who has gone and rated vintages and talked about wines and made or broken several wineries around the world. And he's finally sitting back and he's looking at his history and looking at his whole career and saying, well, maybe we've taken ourselves a little bit too seriously. Maybe we have taken this to a point where it's not about wine and food and enjoying company anymore, but we've turned it into a business, turned it into a science, and turned it into a chemistry experiment. Well, bravo, Matt. It's about time that somebody in a wine professional situation realized that. That's why we have shows like The Wine Crush, because this is what it comes down to. We're very fortunate. We have Anthony Trilotto on the show. He's talking about authentic and honest wines. We have David Vogels on the show today. He's talking about generating great media for the wine professionals so that they can teach the average consumer better. But when you put all that together, all of this experience, all of this background comes from sharing the glory of the grape. This is not something people seriously went to the university for. They didn't sit down in front of a book and flip through chapter after chapter while someone stood at a chalkboard and droned on. This is not something that you go down to your local college and spend 12 years researching and come out with a doctor of wine. The only way that you can actually master wine, the only way do you get to a point where you understand everything in David Vogel's magazine, the only way you get to the point where you can truly relate to Anthony Trilotto saying something is authentic and honest is by opening a cork, by opening a bottle, and by sitting down. And the greatest experience you can get from wine is not whether or not you're a super taster. It's not whether you can sit down and actually taste every bit of apple and every nuance in it. It's about when you sat down and tasted that wine and got something out of it that you enjoyed. And that is the key, and that is the heart. So go on, taste wines, whether you like them, whether your friends like them. Make the most of every time you open that cork, and eventually you're going to find yourself in a situation where you can say, yes, I have taste. This is The Wine Crush, reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. And mostly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.